The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, I welcome back Venatica, our music guest of the evening. Also, our week one NFL pigskin pick'em, news on the death of Michael Clarke Duncan, and also the top movies at the box office. This and much, much more tonight on Unsigned. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to the Unsigned Show. My name is Ryan. It's Tuesday night. Hopefully, everybody's having a nice evening. Hopefully, everybody had a nice Labor Day as well. Hopefully, the weather held up for you. And also, thoughts go out to everyone dealing with the hurricane here in the past week as well in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama area. So hopefully, if you know someone in that area, hopefully they're doing all right and they were able to get out of that area before a lot of the storms and all the flooding hit. Just a big time, top 10 natural disasters as far as all hurricanes in the country. So definitely, again, that area dealing with more rains, more flooding. So definitely a tough go in the southern part of the United States. But hey, on a brighter note, we've got a big show for you this evening. The band Venatica is coming in. They haven't been here in a long, long time, so definitely stick around for them coming up in a little bit. And I want to get into a story that I came across today. And at first I read it and I was like, what the hell? And then I start reading a little more and I go, this is an interesting story. And it takes place in Nigeria. Now, this isn't one of those weird chainmail things, like, oh, I need money, send me your information in Nigeria. No, this guy, this involves Nigeria and roasted chickens. How do the two correspond with one another when it comes to 6 pounds of cocaine? Well, I'll tell you how they coincide. $150,000 worth of cocaine, according to Nigerian police, was found as a man was trying to smuggle it in. This has been going on apparently for more than 6 years. This guy's been doing this, and he's a native of the area. This happened on Labor Day Monday, yesterday, where the man was caught and busted by the National Drug Law Enforcement Agency in Nigeria. He's accused of and arrested for transporting in an airport over 2.6 kilograms. That's 5.7 pounds of cocaine. That is amazing. And not only is he smuggling almost six pounds of cocaine, he's doing it in roasted chicken. You want to talk about finger looking good? I mean, imagine having some of that chicken right now. You know how excited you would be? Like, man, this is the greatest chicken ever. I love this chicken. It's great. I can't feel my face. Oh, it's so good. Finger licking good. Oh, the Colonel had the right idea on this one. Extra crispy chicken right there. Oven roasted. Delicious. I can't feel my face. Just shove it down, Can I get that tossed in buffalo sauce, please? But according to Nigeria, this is something they've actually taken a part in as far as drug task force is concerned since in 2009, they had someone from their country fly into Detroit with a bomb on them. I don't know if you remember that story at all. Now they've installed airport scanners. And since then, authorities have caught over 100 different types of drug carriers in the last year and have seized over 904 pounds of cocaine this year alone in their airports. That is amazing. Makes you wonder what got through airport security there prior to 2009 before they got police scanners. Interesting stuff there. So if you're in Nigeria, I recommend the roasted chicken with asparagus. Shia LaBeouf, better known for his movies in the Transformer trilogy, he just revealed on Chelsea Lately on Late Night that he landed a lead in Lars von Trier's upcoming film Nymphomaniac by sending the director a sex tape. He said, I wanted him to have tapes of me and my girlfriend having sex to show him that I could actually get the job and do it right. He's also starring currently in the movie Lawless, which came out last weekend. And I tell you what, that's actually how I got my first radio job, Mike, is that I just, took a video of me raw dogging my girlfriend, and that's how I got my my first gig. Thank you, Dennis O'Brien, for that. I appreciate it. He was like, you are definitely the guy for a 7 to midnight shift.
Well, it was either that or, bring him in a roasted chicken.
Yeah, one of the two. It was one of the two. roasted. Well, knowing Dennis O'Brien, hey, love you, man. But, you know, he probably would have went for one of those roasted chickens. There's no doubt about it. And be like, this stuff is amazing. It's great. I can't feel my face. Hey, a few weeks back, I was talking about a teacher in Texas who was having a five-way gangbang with one of her students and actually filmed it. Kudos to her. I believe the words I used were five-way meat locker train trolley. Well, I tell you what, Miss Erica DiPaolo, age 33, from Essex County, New Jersey, says, I was the teacher of the year. Chick having a gangbang in Texas. I was the teacher of the year in 2011, and last Friday she was arrested for having sexual relationships with a 15-year-old honored English student. Yeah, I bet he was an honored English student, all right. I mean, sure, it wasn't a gangbang, but you're talking teacher of the year. You want to talk about after-school program activity, stellar education courses, bar none, and also double in a learning curve and really a release for young boys and conjugating a verb in no way that anybody could really teach other than the teacher of the year, Erica DiPaolo. Only in New Jersey, right? And also, you talk about New Jersey, they just canceled the Jersey Shore like a fist pump to the face. It's finally gone. Thank goodness for that. I am curious of what's going to happen with the Chester Cheeto family now that they don't have a TV show any longer. On to more serious news here this evening. Michael Clark Duncan, better known as in his Oscar Award nominated role as the death row inmate in the magical healing powers in the 1999 film The Green Mile. Hard to believe that film came out in 1999. He died Monday at the age of 54. He broke into acting as a bodyguard for stars such as Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Jamie Foxx, LL Cool J, and the Notorious B.I.G. Now in 1997. After Notorious B.I.G. was pronounced dead, Duncan at that point decided to span out into his career. He did In Living Color with Jamie Foxx. He did Bullworth, Arliss, Night at the Roxbury, Sister, Sister, Planet of the Apes, CSI New York, Talladega Nights he was also in. He did a couple cameos in Two and a Half Men. He was also in the TV show Bones as well. And most recently, he did a film called The Challenger, which is yet to be released. Came as a shock, I think, to many. Definitely came as a shock to me, especially at only the age of at 54, a very young man in retrospect. And I guess he'd been dealing with heart conditions for several months and obviously, you know, succumbed to those conditions. So thoughts go out to the Michael Clark Duncan family. Definitely, he was a great actor, and The 8 Mile was a wonderful, wonderful film. Now, also another death report. I hate to have a obituary reading here tonight, but guitarist Mike Abraham, who performed with Starship featuring Mickey Thomas, died at the age of 46. He was pronounced dead Monday after just playing a show. They said it was an apparent heart attack. More details, I'm sure, will come out on this. But he was just playing a show, died of a heart attack. It was all of a sudden they lost one of their best bandmates. Of course, they did We Built the City and Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. He also played Mark Abraham played in the band Survivor, Toto, Loverboy, and also did a spot for AC/DC for a short period of time as well in his musical career. So another guitarist, fellow musician that we've lost due to an early death. Only 46, unbelievable, died of a heart attack age 46. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, coming to the Unsigned Show this evening, making their first appearance in nearly 1 year, from Los Angeles, California, by way of Champaign, Illinois, I bring you Vonetica! Hey, Travis, Jared, hey, thanks for stopping in, man. It's been a long time. How you guys been, man?
We've been kicking. How you been?
Doing good, man. We're just, slaving over a hot microphone, so to speak, doing our thing, you know. We've had a lot of music guests since you guys are really one of the first music guests we've had, and we really appreciate you guys, taking the time to come on again. And you guys have been busy from what I hear. I mean, you had a summer tour. How has that been going for you guys, man?
It was an efficient, busy year, so it was good. It wasn't as busy as other years, but other years has just been stupid busy where we've done a lot of things we didn't need to do. So this year we did a lot of things we needed to do, so that was good. But the tour, that was fun. We were out with a band from New Jersey called Reverse Order, and they were just on America's Got Talent. And it was a good tour.
Very cool, man. Now, I think I actually remember seeing them on America's Got Talent. You know, what areas? I know you guys went through the Midwest. You were in Ohio, some old stomping grounds of mine. Any interesting stories from the road you care to share with us?
Absolutely. We covered a lot of states that we'd never been to before. So we started out in Ohio. We went through Scranton, Pennsylvania just for the night. We needed a place to stay, and we stopped there for the night. But we didn't have a show. And it was the night before we were officially going to start with Reverse Order in Connecticut. So we walked around the downtown area in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and we found a bar that had just a random show going on. It was a rock show. And we walked up and kind of peeked through the windows. And, you know, we looked like a band walking around. We looked like dirty kids, you know, walking. And some of the band members outside, like smoking cigarettes, were like, "Hey, are you guys a band?" And we said, "Yeah." They said, "You guys should come play here tonight," joking with us. But we had all of our gear with us in the van just down the street. So we said, "Yeah, no, we'll come play." So cool. We grabbed all of our acoustic gear, walked inside, played two songs for them. They were very surprised and excited about who we were and everything. And we played well and taped it. And did we put it on the internet?
No, just a clip of it.
Yeah, just a clip on it. It's like on our like tour wrap-up video. But it was really funny. So we made some fans that night, and we went on our way. I think I had a Red Bull, and then I left, and then we were done. And I can't say that anymore since we're sponsored by an energy drink, but I did have a Red Bull.
Well, very cool, man. I'm glad you guys had a good time on tour, and it sounds like you're doing it really kind of the old-fashioned way, man, just really going out, playing gigs, and popping in at a bar in the town you're not even really scheduled to be in, and really committing to the craft, which I really dig. Now, any pranksters in the band, Travis, Jared? I know you have a pretty good sense of humor. I follow you on Twitter. Any interesting pranks or anything you guys play on one another on the road?
Well, earlier this year, we flew out to LA, just Stevie, Travis, and I, and the hotel people. Like, we're getting antsy with us, so Travis and I had to go down and talk to him. We ran back to the room. We're like, "Stevie, grab your shit. We got to go." He started to freak out, like, started packing all his stuff back up, and we had a good laugh.
The hotel was worried that we had more than two people in the room, which we did. But, we didn't want to pay for, more than two people. So we had three in there, and they obviously saw it since it was, like, a dump out in, like, what city were we in?
Ontario.
We were in Ontario, so we were like on the far east side of the city, staying at a Super 8. And there's three of us in there, so they're like, "You have three people in the room." And I was like, no. And one of them was just visiting. So they caught on after a while, so I went down there to pay the fine. And we came back, and that's when we scared Stevie into thinking that we were in trouble and we had to go.
Unbelievable. Man, what's the fine for that? They charge like an extra, what, like 20, 30 bucks or something?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like an extra like $8 a night for the person. It's not anything crazy, but we were going to be there for a week, so it ended up being like 30 or 40 bucks.
No kidding. Well, it's surprising that the clerk would be so hard up in that scenario. But
I can understand. It was a crappy hotel. They needed the money.
Yeah, right. They're like, "Those bed sheets are really old. They're from 1984. We need the money to get some new sheets." No. Now, when you guys are on the road, do you, obviously, playing pranks, having fun, playing lots of shows, playing with, with other bands. Do you guys find time to write in between, destinations at all?
On accident, yeah.
Just kind of stories on the road? Is there any inspirations or things you see, like road signs or just people at a show or something that kind of spark your interest? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, just we take from everyday experiences with it. In March, we were out here in Los Angeles for the first time, and I was doing yoga in the hotel room while we were waiting to get started on our day of writing, and I just started humming a melody, and Travis accidentally played a wrong chord, and it worked. So we wrote a new song.
Yeah, wrote a new song from it, and we call it like Transit right now, and we've been playing it all summer, and people really dig it. But yeah, just stuff like that happens where you accidentally play the wrong chord or you're just screwing around. Now it's a little bit more on purpose because all we do now since we live in LA is write music basically. But I mean, back in the day, yeah, we were just on accident. And on the road, you don't write too much because you're just going from city to city every day doing the same thing and driving a lot. But it happens.
Very cool. Now, the first track we have tonight is Monsters on the Moon. This is a track we did not play last year. What can you tell me about this song tonight?
Yeah, so we just put this one together. It was a free demo kind of recording for us. There was a record It's a recording studio. He wants to do a record label kind of thing out of Danville, Illinois. And he works with a lot of Tooth and Nail bands, which would be – it's a really nice big label based out of Washington State. And this guy we know, our drummer was interning for him during the summer, and he said, hey, do you guys want to come do a demo? I'm trying to attract more talent, you know, more local bands, and I want them to hear a local band. Obviously, we're a little bit more professional, so what we show them is it might not be what they sound like, but it was just kind of a free deal. We did it over like 4 or 5 hours. And, you know, if you know music, it takes like days to record a song. Like, we just recorded a song over 2 weeks. That's how long it took us. And we did this in 4 hours. So I hope you enjoy the track. That's the story behind Monsters on the Moon.
Right on. Very cool. Here's Monsters of the Moon by Venatica here on Unsigned.
Curtains, it's time you learn your fate. You're doomed to run this race with a boy chained to your wrist. Over and over again. It's story time, love. Now gather around. You're perfect, you think. Now how does it sound? You're kind of narcissistic.
Masquerade ball.
Monsters on the Moon by Venatica here on Unsigned. I'm talking with Jared and Travis from the band. Now, guys, you originally are from Champaign, Illinois, and you just recently moved to L.A. this year. Why the move?
Oh, yeah. So we moved just because we needed more opportunities. We'd done pretty much everything we can do in Illinois. You know, we didn't play in Illinois too much. We toured all over and played everywhere we could because there wasn't that many opportunities to do anything in Illinois. So L.A. seemed like a good spot for us because that's where a lot of the music's being made that we play like. You know, we're pretty similar to bands like Panic at the Disco or even Paramore, Reliant K right now. And L.A. just seemed like a good spot because we have a lot of connections here. Our management label is based out of here. Our there's some producers we're working with. We're working with a cool guy named Go Davey Go right now, and he's been working with us for the last few weeks and writing new music and hopefully putting out a new EP. Then there's some other heavy hitters that we've been talking to that haven't come out of the woodwork yet, and we're keeping them under wraps. But basically we're making a bunch of music that we'll be licensing and then trying to get on a new label and everything. And it just seemed like the right fit, and we enjoy the weather as well. So that seems right to help.
Well, as a fellow Midwesterner, I live in the South now. I definitely appreciate the nicer weather part, and it sounds like things are really turning for you guys, and I'm glad they are. I know we talked, you know, like in about a year ago, and you guys kind of had, you know, a lot really already in motion, and now things seem to be really taking off for you. The move to L.A. seems to be working out, and now you guys have a sponsor, Roaring Lion Energy Drink. How has that changed things for you guys, not necessarily, you know, in the touring aspect, but also just being able to just make music full-time?
It's funny because we're just a lot more jazzed up all the time because we're always on energy. Now, seriously, these guys are awesome. They we go over there just to get a case or something every now and then, and they'll just give you like 72 cans and say, you know, thanks for coming by, or they'll come to us at the studio and just drop it off. We got one of the producers we were working with or are working with on their little roster as well, so he gets free stuff. And that's really great for them because then all the musicians that come to him have to drink this stuff because it's in his fridge. And so it's just a cool relationship. And so we just booked a show over at the Santa Monica Pier for later in the month. And it's going to be like a special one-hour acoustic session. And Roaring Lion's going to work with us where they're going to walk around with their good-looking ladies, the Roaring Lion Energy Drink Girls. And they're going to hand out flyers and free samples and stuff. And hopefully that night, Roaring Lion just kind of takes over the bar too at the place we're going to be playing at. And so they're really cool about that. And it's just, I think this relationship is going to bring a lot of attention to us and a lot of attention to them because all of our friends are already drinking it. And we live in a condo complex with a bunch of families, which is great. Like, we have this suite pad here. And so we're like the youngest people here, and they all kind of look at us like we're goofy, but we always give them free energy drinks. And so they all like us now.
Well, at least, you know, the energy, I'm glad, it sounds like everything's working out. I'm glad you're giving them the energy drinks and not the roasted chickens from Nigeria. As long as you guys stay on that path, you're good. Now, all these great things happening, you have the sponsorship, Lion Energy Drink, you know, the move to LA, wheels are in motion. What is the biggest challenge in your eyes right now for your band?
It's really just reaching people. Like, that's always been the biggest hurdle to get over, is just getting to people, more and more people, because I mean, probably 2 out of 10 people that hear us aren't going to like us, but still we have to make it as much as we can, get out there and appeal to the masses.
That was the biggest thing. We were just struggling in Illinois to reach, you know, 1 million people. We could reach like 100,000, but we needed 1 million people to make a living out of this. So that's really, you know, why we left, other than the sweet opportunities with the business. And we figured out it's all about who you know in this business when you get to a certain point. And it really is. You could be the most talented guitarist, but, you know, you don't leave your house or whatever, you got a big problem if you want to make money playing. And we've seen that a lot in the Midwest. There's so many good players, but they just get stuck there, you know, with families and all sorts of things, which is fine if you want to do that. But we've got bigger aspirations. And I remember Jaron telling me a story when he was, what were you, in high school at a talent show with Alf and all those dudes?
Yeah.
And he got done playing like for the first time in front of people, you know, a big rock show. And what'd you say when you left the stage?
I was just like, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah. So he said he wanted to do this for the rest of his life. And that's really how we feel. And we've been blessed. And it's stupid that we get paid to do this. We know that. But we also know that like music is a huge part of everybody's life. You don't meet somebody that's like, no, I don't like music or I don't like movies. It's like, yeah. Yes, you do. So we get to be a part of people's life, and it's just, this is where we need to be right now.
Very cool, man. You know, I'll chime in on that note. When I first broke in the radio, you know, a long, long time, it's been over 15 years, but there was the late Bruce Ryan, who is, you know, just recently been passed away for a little over a year now, was a mentor of mine. And when I first got to broadcasting school, he said, you know, he's like, some people, he's like, you get here and you love it and that's great. But he's like, you know, he's like, you have to let go of the things that you're used to, you know, just because it's your favorite corner store or it's, you know, where you like to get your hair cut. And, you know, yeah, your family may be here, but you know, if you want to do and be great at whatever it is you're going to do, whether it be music, radio, TV, you know, movies, actors, actresses, you got to take that extra step and, you know, basically not be under the cover of what you're familiar with. So I credit you guys for taking the leap and going out there and things really taking off for you. I'm really proud of you. Now, as far as the music industry, you know, I know the music industry has changed a lot, especially in the last 10 to 15 years. How do you see the music industry right now as it compares to your guys' situation?
It's exactly like our situation. That's the best part. We realize that it is about who you know. Once you got to be pretty good to get into this industry. It's a really small, tight-knit community when you get to LA, and everybody knows everybody. So you have to be nice. But really, it's just about meeting somebody, you know, wining and dining them, or having them wine and dine you, making a relationship. Because the creative minds, everybody's pretty creative when you get to that point. Nashville's a key example of that. Everybody in Nashville is amazing at music, and you know that. And we went down there and played a few shows, and nobody gave a damn. They were just like, yeah, you guys are good. So is everybody else. So we were like, well, we're not going to stay here. You got to go someplace where you can trust some people and where you think you can work things out. And that's where I see it. Where do you see it, Jaren?
I mean, yeah, it's very, very close to that. And, I mean, it's just those mainstream bands that keep coming around. And what's interesting to me is like people's tastes in the pop genre in general, like, is becoming more electro, more so than like the, you know, standard, you know, 5-piece band or 4-piece band. You know, a lot of synth and electronic programming is very popular today, especially with dubstep surfacing like so prevalent in the past year.
Have you heard the new Linkin Park album or the Muse album?
I haven't heard the new Muse album, but the new Linkin Park I have heard, and it is night and day different from the band that you heard 10 years ago. And it's not this, you know what, and I'm personally, I'm not a huge fan of that band, but I can appreciate how good they actually are and how good they are, what they do. And the new music, although it's not necessarily something I would personally listen to on my own time, what they do, they're very, very good at it.
Right. They've adapted, and that's what we're talking about. Out here, they have the only rock station I can think of in the nation that's like all rock all the time, and that's K-Rock. And it's a good station, so we listen to it sometimes out here. And they have the new Muse album running right now, and I have no idea if it's going around the U.S. or if it's just here, but it's electronic, and it's a lot different, and we're enjoying it. But, I mean, that's really where things are going right now. It's just, even with the licensing we've seen, they don't prefer full bands right now. They would just rather have some kind of electronic thing for a commercial, and so we've adapted to that as well, where we've started familiarizing ourselves with the electronic dance music and everything in that nature, and kind of incorporating ourselves into that. We've been doing that for the last few years, but now since all we do is write music all day, that's taken a big part of our life, you know?
Very cool. Well, hey, I mean, I think I agree with you there. I mean, you could definitely hear it, not just even on rock stations, but even, you know, your top 40 and your pop, and, you know, the list goes on and on. Even, you know, maybe not so much in the country genre, there's still, you know, that's still here in Nashville. That's, you know, you were talking about night tight group community. The Nashville community is very tight when it comes to who they let into their circle, you know, whether you're, you know, pop, rock, music, whatever. That's just it's very close knit group, and it's fitting. I think the next song tonight is titled "The Title Fight," because in a way, in the way the music industry is now, you got to be a counterpuncher. And the next song is "Title Fight," here by Venatica on Unsigned.
say to fall in line. Pack your bags and good luck. Yeah, I don't wanna be the one to say it, but we're breaking trends, we're making friends, our phones are blowing up. And I don't wanna live until we're done. The clock strikes out, the clock strikes out.
The title fight here on Unsigned from Venatica, hanging out with Travis and Jared from the band. Guys, really dig that tune there. Now, you guys, you know, you moved out to LA, you know, did the summer tour, you know, got, you know, the sponsorship, you know, seems like, you know, write music. You guys got a lot of things going on. What do you guys do in your free time? New area? You guys take any of the sights at all?
Free time. We have a lot of free time, actually, right now. You know, because you can only write music for like, I'd say 5-6 hours a day, then you can't anymore. But recently we are getting into surfing.
Yep.
So we suck terribly, but we got wetsuits coming, and we're really excited. I've surfed before, but I'm still terrible. And then what else? We've been exercising. The boys are not Travis. Everybody else has been doing P90X and that diet and everything. So sure. They're all getting they're getting ripped out, and I'm getting ripped out in my own way, but with a different exercise program. And then what else have we been doing?
A whole bunch of beach.
Yeah, we've been going to the beach. And then, I don't know, we'll probably end up playing some rugby here. We got into rugby in this last year. We like playing that, but not tackle, because we got to keep our grills in order and our faces okay.
Sure.
But we like playing touch rugby now. And the drummer, he skateboards, so he likes doing that. So he'll probably be the best surfer out of all of us.
Yep. Tyler's got the advantage.
Yeah,
I would say surfing has got to be one of the most underrated difficult sports there is. Travis, I'm with you, man. I don't think I'd be out there on the surfboard. I mean, maybe at the beach hanging out, maybe do a little volleyball and that type of thing.
I'm gonna do it. It's just gonna suck for a while. I forgot the other thing we've been doing is I've been golfing for a long time, so that's why you see all my tweets about golf. But I got the guys into golfing; they got clubs and stuff. So I was at the range yesterday teaching them how to do it.
Man, I love golf. I haven't golfed in forever. But the cool thing about golf is that you don't even necessarily have to be any good to enjoy it. You just, you know, get your cart and, you know, 12-pack of beer and just, you know, drink a beer whole and you're good, you know?
Well,
you
have fun.
Yeah.
Now, I know you guys are, you know, originally from Illinois, grew up in Big Ten country. College football just kicked off this past weekend. I don't know if you're like me or not. I enjoyed watching Michigan get throttled by Alabama. But how do you guys see the college season shaping up?
I mean, I think it's going to be a fun year, especially in the Big Ten, just with all the new faces with the Illini and Ohio State. That's what I'm excited about. I'm interested to see what Urban Meyer does, really.
The only thing I'm going to say about the Big Ten right now, because I haven't been paying too much attention, is since I was a former Illini for Illinois, the only thing I've heard is that all the intel on the new football coach we have or whatever, all the people who work in the athletic department hate this guy, and he better do something quick because they're very angry. I'm sure the athletic director is cool with them and everybody, but all the people who are under him are kind of peeved right now. But we'll see what happens. If the dude wins, there's nothing they can do about it.
You know what? And you guys had Ron Zook there for the longest time, and Ron Zook before coming to Illinois was in Florida, you know, so yeah. I could see. I don't know a whole lot about you guys' new coach, but I do know one thing. Ron Zook could recruit like no other, but wasn't much of a field general as far as putting game plans together. So if this guy is going to have a boatload of talent, I would think in 2 years you guys should be on the winning side and competing in the Big Ten. As far as Urban Meyer goes, I can't remember the last time I saw an Ohio State team put up 56 points in basically 2.5 quarters.
Yeah. They're going to dominate everything. And we stole all of our coaches from Ohio, so, you know, it's all good.
Now,
you'll like this. The last time we went and played a show in Ohio, we were out there throwing the rugby around, and they're like, all the Ohio kids were like, what is that? And we're like, it's a rugby. We had to come up with a new sport because Ohio people are way better than Illinois people at football, so you can just leave us alone now.
Fair enough. Yeah, Ohio is crazy about football. No matter where you are in Ohio, they are crazy about football. I grew up in Northeast Ohio where it's fanatical, and I lived in Columbus for a number of years. And you want to talk about fanatical. I mean, it's, you know, it is big time in that area. Now, NFL kicking off as well. You guys NFL fans? I think someone's Jared, you're what, a Bears fan, right?
Yeah, I sure am. I'm excited for this season. I'm really interested to see, like, how consistent the Cutler and Brandon Marshall connection will actually be.
Yeah, I actually picked the Bears in our preview to finish second in the division and come as a basically come in as a wild card and really surprise a lot of people. So, you know, a lot of football to go. Week starts up. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes now. Another thing I want to talk about is you guys are doing a Christmas song right now. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just got off the phone with one of our producers while we were on a break here. And like Jaren and I have, you know, talked about this Christmas song for a while, and I wrote like the first verse and the chorus or whatever. And the producer's like, you guys should, you know, keep writing a new song tonight or whatever. And I'm like, but we were going to work on our Christmas song. He's like, oh, well, yeah, you can do that, but but so this whole thing, we've done two Christmas songs before, acoustic, and we release them just around the holiday and just give them out for free. This year is going to be a lot more involved. I already know it is, and it's electronic, and it's like, it's really cool sounding to me, but I have this thing where I don't like Santa Claus, and it comes out in all my lyrics. And it's I don't like Santa Claus. It's not because I don't like the holiday. It's because it's a one-night stand. He just shows up. He messes up your roof. The GD reindeer just crap everywhere. You know, it's just a bad deal. This big, fat, white guy comes and messes up your house and leaves something. He's like, breaks in. So it all comes down to me not liking Santa Claus, and the Christmas song is just going to destroy him again.
That's classic, man. Bad Santa all the way, right?
That's such a good movie. Yeah.
I'm with you, man. Santa Claus is a creepy dude, and he wants cookies and milk all the time. And, you know, I'm worried about his diabetes. Is he, yeah. Type 2? I don't know. I mean,
he's definitely type 2. Yeah, for sure. And I think he's got arthritis and stuff, and he's like 150 or something. I don't know how old he is.
It won't be long. We'll see a Santa Claus in a leave commercial from November 20th to January 1st for arthritis pain.
The best thing is you probably got some 10-year-old listening to this with like their mom and dad right now, or just their dad or something. And we are not ruining it. We're just telling him how it is. Santa Claus is a jerk. He's a jerk. That's what he is.
You're not getting a pony. You'll shoot your eye with that thing, and that's the way it is.
Yep, but, that's happening. So I've been working on, since I think I started in July on this song. So it's going to be well worth it. It's going to be great.
Very cool. I'm definitely interested to hear it, man. I don't know, if you guys are obviously pretty busy, but if you get a chance, maybe at the end of the year or something, you can stop in for a quick cameo and premiere the song if you guys be interested in doing that.
I'd be totally down to do that. Let's do it in December.
All right, cool. We'll pencil in. We'll work out the details in due time. But, hey, man, I'm glad you guys are doing good, man. I know it's been a while since we've talked, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to come on tonight. And if people want to hear you guys, what's the best way to do it? Website, Twitter, my social media is rules all. So if people want to hear you, get out to you, how can they do it?
Venatica.com is the easiest way. It'll easily direct you to our Facebook page where we talk to people every day. VANATTICA.com.
That'll lead you to everything. It really will. Twitter and all that crap. So just go to VANATTICA.com. We'll take you to the YouTube page, the Twitter. We always have new videos up and stuff. We just put up 2 new videos this week of us doing acoustic songs in the studio. And that's the easiest way. And if you want to talk to us, literally just write on the page and we'll write back to you. Like, we monitor it all day.
Very cool. Well, hey, Travis, Jared, I appreciate you guys stopping by, man. Best of luck to you out in LA. Enjoy the weather. And we're closing tonight with a song today, which I think is fitting. You guys are obviously living in the moment and having a good time out there. Best of luck to you. What do we need to know about this song before we close out tonight?
This song we did with Go Davey Go, actually, in March. It was just a 6-hour demo we did, just kind of like Monsters on the Moon. And that's the guy we've been working with for the last like 2 or 3 weeks here. And we just spit out a new song. What are we calling that? Burning Letters. And then we were working with him today. So, yeah, this is from Los Angeles. And I don't know what else to say about this song.
Very cool. Well, right on. Hey, well, guys, thanks again, man. Take care. And this is Venatica today here on Unsigned.
I don't know what I'm here for. Today, today, it's too late to save.
Attica here on Unsigned with the song Today. And again, thanks to the guys from Vanatica, Jared and Travis, for stopping in. It's been a while since we've had them on. It's good to catch up with them. It seems like things are really taking off for those guys. Best of luck to them. And look forward to hearing that Christmas song sometime in December. So definitely stay tuned for that here in a couple months. But hey, the first week of the NFL season is upon us.
Start. Offense. Everyone but the center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
That's right. We're not letting them off the hook. This is week one NFL pigskin pick'em here on Unsigned. Now, last year I finished around 60% on my picks. So maybe I know what I'm talking about. I don't know. I'm not saying that I do, but luck would have it. I know a little bit. I'm not putting any bets in Vegas, so don't base your gambling habits on my predictions for Pigskin Pick'em every week, okay? But if the season kicks off tomorrow night, it doesn't wait till Thursday or Friday or Saturday. No. Tomorrow night it heads off, and what a really kickoff for the NFL. The Super Bowl defending champions at home taking on the Dallas Cowboys at MetLife Stadium. This is a big-time division NFC East rivalry game. Two teams that don't like one another, quite frankly. And the Giants, I think this Giants team is poised to win. I think it's going to be a low, maybe mid-20s type of game. But of the Giants, I mean, you know, Super Bowl defending champions, they've got no publicity. Nobody's talking about them. They're just like, oh, yeah, Super Bowl champions, Tim Tebow. You know, that's all you hear about, you know, so Tom Brady, you know, that's all you hear about. So I think the Giants are going to come out and make a statement opening week one at home against their rival Dallas Cowboys, a team they beat to keep out of the playoffs last year. Keep that in mind as well. Also, you have the Colts taking on the Bears. Hey, it's Andrew Luck's first game as a pro, and his first task is taking on the Chicago Bears defense with or without Brian Urlacher. I don't know if he's going to play. He said he wants to play because of injury. He may not. It's up to him. I think at this point, the guy's been in the league a long time. I think you make the call. If he wants to play, you let him go play. They're a better team with him out on the field than not. The record proves it. And also, I think the Colts defense is a long way from just being an average defense. And I think Jay Cutler and company with the acquisition of Brandon Marshall, I think Matt Forte now has got the contract, and he proves that he is a stand-up guy. He's not going to fold under the contract, you know, that he's got the money. I think he's still going to play great. And I think the Bears score in bunches. I'll take the Bears in that over the Colts. You have the Rams, Lions. Jeff Fisher's first game as the head coach of the St. Louis Rams. He spent all those years in Tennessee with the Titans. I expect the Rams to be a better team than they have. That's not really saying much, and they've been pretty awful the last couple of years. The Lions are looking to rebuild on their last year's playoff appearance, a team that's been awful years prior. Look, the Rams defense, Jeff Fisher is going to scheme and try to take away what the Lions like to do. The Rams have a lot of young talent, but with young talent comes undeveloped talent. Jeff Fisher was brought in to build a winner in St. Louis. It's just not going to be this year, unfortunately. I'm taking the Lions with some major growing pains. I think it'll be closer than a lot of people think, but I'm taking the Lions in a W. Dolphins, Texans. Congratulations, Ryan Tannehill. You are the rookie quarterback no one thought that should have been drafted in the first round. Now you've been named the starter. And your first week, you get to take on the Texans and Wade Phillips' 3-4 defense. That was one of the best defenses in the NFL last year. And week one, you get to take them on. I think that this rookie quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, is going to suck real bad. Not because he sucks, just because it's a tough situation. He's going to be drinking gas like an Econoline van on Leonard Fuel. Rough day for the first time rookie, and the Dolphins will take the defeat. Texans in a big time win. The Falcons heading to Arrowhead to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Many people were like, oh, the Falcons, they're like the darling. They're like the Chargers of the NFC. They're going to make a playoff push this year. They could be a Super Bowl team this year. A lot of people think that. I'm not on that dirty bird wing at all. I think the Kansas City Chiefs, led by Romeo Crennel, who's getting the opportunity that he didn't get in Cleveland to have a say on personnel and those type of things. And I tell you what, this Kansas City Chiefs team, don't sleep on them. They're going to clip the dirty bird weak wing on taking the Chiefs at home. Jaguars, Vikings. This is bound to be an ugly game to watch. Two young quarterbacks, two top shelf running backs, MJD and AP, Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson coming off the knee injury, MJD ending his lockout. I think this is two teams that are really in a rebuilding mode. I think the Vikings are a little bit farther along than the Jags are. I'm going to take the Vikings at home. Redskins, Saints. This would be an interesting game. You have rookie quarterback, last year's Heisman Trophy winner in college football, Robert Griffin III, taking on the Bounty Saints and Drew Brees. The Saints defense, even with all the suspensions, I think is still a pretty good defense. The Redskins D, I don't know if they can hold up against the Saints' high-powered offense. I'm taking the Saints to spoil the debut of RG3. Bills, Jets. What the Tim Tebow? No Tim Tebow. Yeah, they're going to run the Wildcat, whatever. That is dead gone. People understand that in the NFL. It doesn't work. Tim Tebow is a novelty act. Nobody's ever talked so much about a backup quarterback than they do about Tim Tebow. I'm talking about him right now. Jesus, Tim Tebow. Well, hey, with all that being said, this is an AFC East divisional game. The Jets, they have proven they have issues on offense big time. I think the Bills, again, much like Kansas City, is going to be a surprise team this year. This team can light it up offensively with the Bills, Fitzpatrick and Stevie Johnson and Fred Jackson at running back, but also that Bills defense. Mind you, they signed Mario Williams in the offseason, one of the best defenders in the NFL, to an already pretty decent defense. I think it's going to be an embarrassing season opener for the Jets. Jets, Jets, Jets. Titans, Patriots. Look, Patriots heading to Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans. The Patriots are looking for Super Bowl or bust. The Titans, they've had an issue with getting to the quarterback. And you're facing Tom Brady week one. That is not a recipe for success at all. So if Titans are – one, two things are going to happen. Either the Titans are going to figure out how to get to the quarterback and make a game of it and lose, or they don't get to the quarterback and it's not a game and the Patriots put up a lot of points. I think the Patriots score early. They score often, and I'll take the Pats over the Titans in Nashville. Seahawks, Cardinals, much like the Vikings-Jaguars game, this could be a very, very ugly football game. Two unproven quarterbacks, two teams that have solid defensive philosophies and schemes. This is a hard game to really to pick for me. I'm going to take the Cardinals in the desert at home. Now, this is going to be, I think, one of the game of the weeks as far as I'm concerned. That is the 49ers versus the Packers. This is a classic matchup of one of the best defenses versus one of the best offenses. This game could go either way, in my opinion, to be honest. I expect the 49ers to get at the quarterback, but I think the Packers adding Cedric Benson at running back, it gives them another dimension they didn't have last year when they went 15-1. They went 15-1 and hardly had a running game. Now you add a workhorse like Cedric Benson. I'll take the Packers at home at Lambeau, but I think this really could be a preview for the NFC title game this year. You have the Panthers against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cam Newton's second season. I think you're going to see a few slip-ups. I'm going to see him throwing for 400 yards and have 4,000 passing yards and all the different touchdown passes. They want to eliminate the amount of hits he's going to take. That's why they brought Mike Tolbert in. They have the dual running back threat. A lot of options there. This Panthers team is going to score, and they're going to score a lot. The thing is, can their defense improve enough to keep people from scoring? That's the thing. Now, they get John Beeson back, and they drafted the kid from Boston College at middle linebacker. You get those two pieces in there, lead this defense, get a mindset, get some aggressiveness. I think this Panthers defense is going to be much improved from last year, and you know they're going to put points on the board with Cam Newton on the field. I'm taking the Panthers, and I think what could be a very exciting and a high-scoring affair, Panthers over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, of course, my Browns hosting the Philadelphia Eagles this week. Look, the Browns have 15 rookies on the roster coming in after the 53-man cuts, including a starting right tackle, starting rookie quarterback, rookie running back, number two wide receiver, rookie, outside linebacker, rookie. Those are just the guys starting, plus they have others that are, you know, in the rotation. A lot of rookies. Again, 15 rookies in camp. They take on a Super Bowl-talented team in the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, the Browns are 1-11 in season openers since rejoining the NFL in 1999. So Browns fans, including myself, set expectations accordingly. The Eagles are going to bring the Boo Birds out in Cleveland in week one. Now we head into our primetime games in week one. We have Sunday night Steelers-Broncos in the Mile High City. Peyton Manning making his debut. And I think Peyton Manning is going to look like Peyton Manning. I think the Steelers, they have questions at running back. They have some injuries in offensive line as well.
And really, yeah, I'm going to use the old line that this team is getting older. This defensive unit for the Steelers is an older team. And let's face it, the sheriff known as Peyton Manning is back in the league, and he looks good. And I think the Broncos are going to get the win on Sunday Night Football. Doubleheader Monday night. All my rowdy friends are coming over. Except for Hank Williams. You're not invited because you're a half-wit hillbilly drunk who is famous because of his family name and a few good songs you wrote about 20 years ago, and that's all I have to say about that. Now, moving on to actual Monday Night Football itself, it's AFC North battle between the Bengals and the Ravens. This is going to be a hard-hitting affair. The Bengals have a very underrated defense. The Ravens, yes, their defense is older, but they have infused a lot of young talent to go along with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and those guys. I expect this to be a low-scoring affair, maybe 13-10 kind of game. But the thing with these teams that you have playmakers that could really bust it open for a big play like Ray Rice, A.J. Green for the Bengals. So you never know what's going to happen. A blink of an eye, you know, you can see a score. That's the type of game I think this is going to turn out to be. Defensive struggle. But I'm going to take the Ravens on the road against the Bengals. And the other, the late Monday night game, is the Chargers taking on the Raiders. The AFC West showdown in the black hole. Two teams that really have a lot to prove. Their divisional games, again, these are always coin flips, especially at the beginning of the year. You never know which way to lean. Phillip Rivers had a really bad year last year. We have Carson Palmer, really his first full year as a Raider. This comes down to me as far as quarterback play, and I'm going to take Phillip Rivers over Carson Palmer's noodled elbow/arm. I just don't think Carson Palmer is the elite quarterback you think he used to be, and why they give 3 first-round draft picks to get him, I'll never know. I think this is going to be a sloppy game, but with that being said, I'm going to take the Chargers in Monday Night Football, and this has been your Pigskin Pick'em.
Offense. Everyone but the center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait. That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who
Newsflash.
We thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Newsflash. Newsflash.
Newsflash. NCAA college football kicked off last week, and I made a couple of predictions. And remember when I said that Michigan was overrated and they would get beat by at least 17 points or more? Yeah, it was worse than I thought, actually. Alabama beat the holy Wolverine out of them. I mean, this is worse than I thought. I mean, an outright curb stomp to the head for Michigan in a 41-14 game. At one point in this game, it was 24-0. Now, I know the national media is spinning this as, oh, it's the best in the Big Ten versus the best in the SEC. You know what? They got it half right. It is the best of the SEC. It is not the best of the Big Ten. Michigan is not the best team in the Big Ten. Their ranking may show that they are, but they're definitely not. I think Michigan, again, overrated with that number 8 seed. They proved it Saturday night. At best, I think they're the 3rd, maybe the 4th team, if they're lucky, in the Big Ten overall. And that number 8 overall ranking proved that they are definitely an overrated ball club. I'll take Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Ohio State over Michigan as far as overall talent is concerned any day of the week. And that does include Denard Robinson, who lost his Heisman Trophy opening week 1. With that being said, Alabama, just unbelievable domination. What can you say? I mean, they just completely dominated Michigan. It looked like a high school team out there playing Alabama is what it looked like. It was pathetic. Now, my upset pick of the week was Georgia Tech heading to Blattsburg, taking on Virginia Tech. It almost happened. It didn't happen. They pushed Virginia Tech to overtime, but for the Hokies and Frank Beamer's club, true grit, lunch pail mentality that you get there with that ball club, find a way to hold on. It wasn't easy beating those Yellow Jackets. Georgia Tech put up a heck of a fight and lost in overtime. Now, the biggest blowout, I guess you could take your pick. My biggest blowout pick was USC versus Hawaii. Ended up being 49-10, Matt Barkley throwing 5 touchdown passes. But the biggest blowout goes to Savannah State, who got beat by Oklahoma State 84-0. Yeah, 84-0. Ouch. That is a drubbing right there. The guys in that Oklahoma State team have a point to prove, considering they didn't get a chance to play for a national title last year. Yeah, I'd say so. Now, this week's games to look forward to, you have Texas A&M hosting number 23, Florida. This is also my upset pick of the week as well. Texas A&M, first game in the SEC at home against those Gators. I think this Texas A&M team is very, very talented and not to be taken lightly whatsoever. And I think Florida has major issues at quarterback, one. And I think Florida's in for a major wake-up call. They struggled against Bowling Green. Florida. The Florida Gators, ranked number 23 in the country, struggled against Bowling Green and the Swamp in Gainesville. Do you think they're going to go to Texas A&M and win? I don't. I think that's an upset. Texas A&M is going to upset the Gators. Chomp, chomp, baby. Number 6, Georgia, heading to Missouri. That's going to be a very good contest. Missouri, a lot better than a lot of people think. Number 19, Oklahoma State, taking on Arizona. Rich Rodriguez, formerly Michigan coach, he survived against Toledo in his opening week in a thrilling overtime game. I expect Oklahoma State to throttle Arizona in the desert. But the biggest blowout, I think this is take your pick again. I'm going to take the Oregon Ducks over Fresno State. But then I was looking at the schedule and I see Florida State, number 7 in the country, takes on, guess what, Savannah State. They just got beat 84-0. Now they have to go to Tallahassee and play a very, very good Florida State ball club. This one's going to get ugly. I don't know what's the point spread in Vegas, like 65? I'll take the point spread, 65.5, Florida State. Ridiculous. Savannah State, I don't know why they scheduled Oklahoma State and Florida State on their schedule. They're a small school, and they're playing, you know, some of the monsters of college football. Credit those guys, you know, for going out there and getting beat on for week after week, I guess. 84-0 last week against Oklahoma State. Ouch. The top 5 in the polls, we have number 5, the Oklahoma Sooners. Number 4, the Oregon Ducks, who were up 50-3 in a quarter and a half last week and then took their foot off the gas. LSU at number 3. USC drops to number 2. And, of course, the number 1 is the Alabama Crimson Tide, Roll Tide. And how can you dispute that, really? I mean, I'm sure people will say, well, USC was number 1 and they won, you know, 49-10. But, look, Alabama looks to be the best team they want. They're the defending national champion, and it's going to be tough for anybody to knock them off the national title hunt. LSU, they're in the same division, and then at that point, USC, and I can't think of any other teams that right now. That's only 1 week. I can't think of any other team that's going to compete. That Alabama team is stacked and loaded for years to come. And now we'll take a look at the top movies at the box office like we always do before we close the show out here tonight. Top movies, number 10, working our way up to the top. Number 10, Hope Springs, $4.7 million. 2006, Obama's America, $5.1 million. Now, you notice that thing's dropping out of the top 10 faster than anything, faster than a Tyler Perry movie. The Campaign, $5.4 million. I wonder if people are getting The Campaign and Obama America 2016 confused. They probably are. The Dark Knight Rises, $5.8 million. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, $6 million. Paranorman, $6.5 million. The Bourne Legacy, $7.2 million. The Expendables 2 at $8.8 million. Lawless, which I was surprised it wasn't at number 1, at $9.6 million. And number 1, the movie Possession at $17.7 million, which obviously is a horror film. Looks pretty good. Usually you see those paranormal horror films, you're like, take them, leave them. This looks like one of those right up there with like The Grudge and The Ring right in that class. So interesting to see how that continues moving in the top movie list. Not a big numbers for the movies this particular weekend. But that closes the show here tonight on Unsigned. I want to thank everyone for joining in. I want to thank Travis and Jared from Venatica for stopping in tonight as well. We're working on a music guest for next week. Hopefully we can get this band to confirm with us. If not, you know, we'll do our best. Maybe we'll bring some old classics on we haven't had in some time. But if not, we'll cover great material as we always do here on Unsigned. And it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.